It's 1 year to the day since the Afghan capital Kabul fell to the Taliban, prompting an unedifying and chaotic scramble by Western nations to evacuate their citizens. For months leading up to the Taliban's victory, there were warnings that Australia was leaving too little time and too few resources to rescue those who risked their lives and the lives of their families to help us. Thousands of Afghan nationals were evacuated, but many more were abandoned, and photos later emerged of at least one former interpreter allegedly shot by the Taliban. The Department of Home Affairs says it's committed to supporting the Afghan community. Andrew Giles is the Federal Immigration Minister, and he joins us this morning. Welcome.
Thanks, Patricia.
Andrew, we're going to get to this very important story in a moment, but I want to start on a development around the former Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, swearing himself into three additional portfolios during the pandemic that we did not know about and were not sworn in by the Governor-General. I've been told the Prime Minister, and we can reveal here, the Prime Minister Anthony Albanese is now seeking advice on the legality and the constitutional legality of these revelations, which is significant. What do you make of what we're hearing?
These reports are absolutely extraordinary and also quite shocking, I think, Patricia. And of course, the Prime Minister is right to seek this advice because it's entirely unclear to me as to how this could have happened. That's leaving aside the extent to which it reveals the absolute dysfunction in the former government. How could it be that a Prime Minister of Australia could have done something like this in the first instance and then not told anyone about it, including his cabinet colleagues? What an appalling indictment on Mr. Morrison.
It's a really unusual story. It's essentially a shadow government that the Parliament was never notified of, let alone the public. So the Prime Minister seeking advice. What are the consequences, do we know? I mean, that this is no longer a government, obviously, that is sworn in, but Scott Morrison is still in the Parliament.
Yeah, well, what we've heard is a repudiation of the cabinet model of government that we've had in Australia for well over 100 years. Its consequences, frankly, I'm not sure about, and that's why it's so important to get this advice. But what it shows is that the former government wasn't only allergic to transparency and contemptuous of many democratic norms. The former Prime Minister seems to have just ripped up the rule book here and, as you say, created some form of shadow government, again, without even telling his cabinet colleagues. This is just the most extraordinary development.
Let's get to what is also extraordinary. This is more than 31,000 humanitarian visa places that were announced for Afghans, but only 5,500 have arrived in Australia since the fall of Kabul. How many are here in total?
There were obviously a large number of people evacuated about this time last year, and that was an extraordinary effort, I think, by people in Home Affairs, the ADF and other parts of the Australian government. This year, 1,100 permanent visas have been issued, and of course we are working our way through an extraordinary demand for places.
What is the government doing to help the hundreds of Afghans who were issued 449 visas before Kabul fell and are still trapped either in Afghanistan or in refugee camps?
Look, this is a very, very difficult set of circumstances, obviously compounded by the significance of today for many Afghan Australians, as well as those who are seeking our help right now. It's obviously a priority that we work our way through people who have been involved in helping Australia in that long conflict, as well as those who are minorities, women and girls. Now, in terms of people who are currently holding visas, we are concerned in particular by those who are in places like Pakistan and could be more readily able to make their pathway through to Australia. We're working with that government and also with people in Iran to try and ensure that as many people as possible can find their route to safety as quickly as possible.
There are 35,500 visa places available and 47,000 visa applications cover more than 210,000 individuals lodged. Will you increase our humanitarian intake?
Look, my first thought now is to ensure that those places we have offered are filled, Patricia, to make sure that those people can find a path to safety and rebuild their lives. You will also be aware that the government has made some wider commitments around our refugee and humanitarian program to increase the intake overall quite considerably, and also recognising the extraordinary goodwill and compassion that's found in the Australian community to provide for an additional 5,000 community sponsorship places. We're also exploring other visa pathways for people from Afghanistan, and there are a number of other pathways in addition to those 31,500 places which could be available as well.
What might that look like? What are you exploring?
Well, there's a skilled refugee pilot, for example, and there are a range of other visa options that we are working our way through.
How are you putting a sense of urgency on this, given so many are waiting and they're reporting that they are fearful of their families' lives? There are people who are genuinely in dire straits right now.
Yeah, well, this is quite an overwhelming situation, but it's vital that we not be overwhelmed by our response to it. We make sure that we do everything we can, putting additional resources into processing, looking at how we can expedite the family reunion process are two things that really need to happen as we do all we can, recognising, of course, some of the limitations, the practical limitations that make it very difficult for us to provide everyone with a pathway to safety in the short term.
In the meantime, 1 million Afghans face starvation. There are reports of people being tortured and executed, of people selling their children for money to buy food. Just let that sit with you if you're listening right now, that this is the situation people are in. Does Australia plan to provide more humanitarian assistance?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is important that we recognise that in addition to the human rights crisis that is sweeping its way through Afghanistan with particular impacts on women and girls and people from minority populations, there's also a wider humanitarian crisis underway. We've seen the earthquake, you talk about famine. Australia's already provided $141 million worth of assistance in this regard. And my thoughts really today are with the people of Afghanistan at this most difficult of times.
Did the Department of Home Affairs provide former Taliban prisoner Tim Weeks any advice around returning to Afghanistan to celebrate the one-year anniversary of the Taliban's rule?
These reports are extremely concerning. The advice to all Australians is not to travel to Afghanistan, and of course any Australian engaged in cooperation with the Taliban is also putting themselves in contravention of the sanctions regime. These reports are distressing, and I can only imagine the additional anguish and distress this is causing many members of the Australian-Afghan community right now.
Just on another element of migration, there are reports the government will lift annual migration to between 180 and 200,000 places a year. And the Skills Minister, Brendan O'Connor, says it's not a done deal, though. What are you waiting for to tell us? What are we waiting for?
Well, as you'd be aware, Patricia, we've got the Jobs and Skills Summit on the 1st and 2nd of September, and this is a government that's committed to consultation. I'm engaged in consultation in the lead-up to that with roundtables. I know my colleagues are as well. Indeed, I'll be convening my Ministerial Council for Skilled Migration later today. We are committed to listening to all the voices in this place and to making sure that all the policy levers that are at our disposal work together, in particular skilled migration, working in conjunction with the skills work that Minister O'Connor is leading, so that we're not seeing the sort of disjunction and dysfunction that too often characterised the former government's approach to these really tricky issues, which have compounded the skills crisis and indeed the labour crisis that so many businesses are facing right now.
Are you looking at a dedicated visa category to encourage skilled migrants to settle in regional Australia?
Well, there have been a range of incentives in the past and currently which exist there. What we are determined to do as we look at the role that skilled migration can play in rebuilding the Australian economy, and by rebuilding I mean not just focusing on the crises that we need to address right now, but having a clearer, longer-term vision of how our labour market will look like and the role of skilled migration in that. That's something that I'm really keen to be part of the conversation about in the lead-up to the Jobs and Skills Summit, and obviously I'll pay very close attention to the outcomes of those discussions.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Great to be with you.
And that's the Federal Immigration Minister, Andrew Giles, joining us here on RN Breakfast.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.